Lord God Almighty. We honor you. We worship you alone. As the King of heaven and the Creator of all things, we worship you. We exalt you. We lift your name on high. You are the one who sets us free. You are the one who loves us so much that you sacrificed the life of your Son so that we might live when we believe and have our sins forgiven. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise this morning. We lift you high. You be glorified. You be honored. You be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Stories of the Bible. Creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was empty, formless, and dark. But the Spirit of God was there. On the first day, God said, "Let there be light." And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. On the second day, God said, "Let there be a space to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth." God called the space sky. On the third day, God said, "Let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place, so dry ground may appear." God called the dry ground land and the waters seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land sprout with every sort of plant and tree." And God saw that it was good. On the fourth day, God said, "Let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night." God made two great lights, the sun for the day and the moon for the night. He also made the stars. God set these lights in the sky to light the earth, and God saw that it was good. On the fifth day, God said, "Let the waters swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind." And God saw that it was good. On the sixth day, God said, "Let the earth make every sort of animal." God made all sorts of wild animals, livestock, and small animals, each able to have babies of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, to be like us." So God created man in his own image. He formed man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into man, and a man became alive. Then he saw that the man needed a helper, so God put man into a deep sleep, and while he slept, God took one of the man's ribs. Then God made a woman from the rib and brought her to the man.
Hello.
Hi.
Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and rule over it. Rule over the fish in the sea.
Hello, man.
The birds in the sky.
Hello, bird.
And all the animals that scurry along the ground." Then God said, "Look, I have given you every plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I have given you every green plant as food for all the animals." Then God looked over all he had made and he saw that it was very good. So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was done. So on the seventh day, God rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and said it was holy.
Well, that just about says it all, doesn't it? That is so encouraging. I find all week long I've been studying this and diving into the passage that comes from Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 that we call the creation story. And please understand that Genesis 1 and 2 work in conjunction together. I wish they were just one chapter. Like it says chapter one, chapter two, but I would say don't even have a chapter break. Just tell us the story. Because that is how God has created everything. Now, just curious, we are starting a new series for the summer, and that is going back to Sunday school. So I'm just curious to know this morning, who of you have a history with Sunday school? Anybody here have? Oh, yes, that's good. And just out of curiosity, has anybody here never been to Sunday school before? All right, welcome to church, because we're going to Sunday school. And this is going to be a lot of fun. And I'll tell you, walking through chapters 1 and 2 of Genesis this week has brought nothing but encouragement and strength and joy to my heart. And I know that that's what's going to happen today as we walk through this passage together. It is with excitement that you return to things that you sometimes forget. You know, if you're not reminded of things, it's very easy, especially for me, to forget and to not do them, or in this case, not remember what the scripture actually says. And so often, what I find is that when I'm going through the daily life that I'm living and I'm working and I'm doing the things that God has called me to do, and the same for you, is that we do forget. We tend to let go of some of the things that are foundational basics. And really, that's what this morning is really all about. We're going to go through the book of Genesis as Sunday school students. So I want you to feel free, if you have a burning question from something that I just said, treat it like a Sunday school class and just put your hand up and we'll see if we can answer your question for you. And if we can't, then I'll have to ask somebody to help me, okay? So we'll kind of make that as a rule as we go through the summer, that if you have a question that, hey, I don't understand that, and maybe I didn't say it clear enough for you, don't hesitate just to say, can you say that one more time, or can you unpackage that for me a little better, please? And we'll make sure that you can do that. Now, if you need to use the washroom, you do not need to raise your hand. You're welcome just to go. All right? I'll tell you, on Thursday, I stepped in here because I was going to open the door and let some cool air from the sanctuary go into my office, and the chairs were in rows. And I think in 34 years of pastoral ministry, I have never been blessed by chairs in rows. It's just never happened. It's awesome to see. And so I was just encouraged by that, and now I'm doubly blessed because so many of you are filling those chairs this morning, and so it's exciting for me to break open the scriptures today. Let's start with prayer, and let's ask God to guide us. Father, we ask for your wisdom to shine off the pages of the creation story for us today. Thank you for creating us. Thank you for creating us in your image and in your likeness. Thank you, O God, for what we learn about you from the pages of creation. And we learn about ourselves, too. And we learn about others. And I thank you, Jesus, that this is meant to answer the toughest questions of life. This story is here for us so that we can learn why we're here and for what purpose we have been made. And so we thank you for that because it puts our feet on solid ground to launch forward into life. And so I just ask, though, God, that you would teach us by your Spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Peter, one of my favorites, and so often he put his foot in his mouth when he was around Jesus, but what a great character. You know, later on he wrote two of the books of the New Testament, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, original names, hey? And so basically, though, there in chapter 1 of 2 Peter and also in chapter 3 of 2 Peter, he says these words, "It is right to refresh your memory." It is right to refresh your memory. Say that with me. It is right to refresh your memory. And then again in chapter 3 of 2 Peter, he says this, "I am writing you as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking." To stimulate you to wholesome thinking. Say that with me. To stimulate you to wholesome thinking. So remembering things is right. And remembering things gives us wholesome thinking. What does that mean? It means knowing why you believe what you believe and how that influences your life. Stephen Covey wrote a book, and in it he said these words: the main thing is that the main thing always remains the main thing. And that is so helpful when it comes to understanding what Genesis chapter 1 and 2 are all about. It is the main thing. Because from Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, we launch forward through the rest of Scripture. I'll tell you, if you get it wrong here, you're wrong throughout the whole thing. Isn't that interesting? And so there's a lot of weight that comes as we learn what God wants us to learn from the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Paul, the apostle, wrote this from Colossians chapter 1. He says that we are created, that God, through Jesus, has created all things by him and for him. So in other words, we're created by God for God. That's what we're created for. We're not created by God for something else. We're not created by God for a job or a task, even though sometimes that is what God, well, all the time, God gives us a task. He gives us something to do. That's not why we're created. We're actually created by him, for him. There's a couple of great authors. One is Augustine from the 4th century. And I have a quote here for us to read. It says, "Because you have made us for yourself, our hearts are restless till they find their rest in thee." Isn't that good? Our hearts as human beings are meant to be at home, at rest with God the Creator. In fact, the seventh day, and we're going to learn this in a little while, but the seventh day, the day of rest, is actually a description of the hope of the heart, rather, that is centered and at home with God. The seventh day rest. Ultimately, God's desire for all creation, all humanity especially, is that their homeless souls find their home in him. And you know what it's like when you're at home, you know, you come home, what do? You kick off your shoes and you relax because you're at home. And that's really the picture that God wants us to know. A.W. Tozer wrote this. I love this. God formed us for his pleasure. Isn't that wonderful to know? You are not cursed to be alive. You know, I often cringe a little bit when someone says, "this damn headache," or "this damn thing," because what they're doing is they're cursing. Their language is giving away a curse. And we don't really even think about it anymore because that's such a common word nowadays. But the fact of the matter is, God did not create us for this. He created us in his pleasure. He was enjoying himself, and the angels were in awe as he created the heavens and the earth, and especially us. We're formed for his pleasure. And so he formed us so that we as well, and he can, in divine communion, enjoy sweet and mysterious mingling of kindred personalities. I love it. We are created in the image of God. We mingle our personalities with God. Isn't that beautiful? And then he says, he meant us to see him and live with him and to draw life from his smile. Isn't that just a gorgeous description? And really, that's why we are created. That's a central piece. We are created by him, for him. And if we forget that, if we lose our way from that, we begin to realize that, what am I doing here? And we get fretful and fearful, and we start to actually demise. We start to disintegrate. We start to destroy what it is that God has done in us by creating us by himself, for himself. I love the kindred spirits. You know, that's alluding to the fact that we are created in his image, and we're going to get into that in just a minute. I would encourage all of you, go through the book of Genesis this summer. Make it a plan. There are 51 chapters. Maybe there's 50 chapters. There's 50 chapters. Divide them up by the summer days and have a good read. And I'll tell you what, don't bring your own ideas to these pages. It is tempting to do that because there are so many issues that surround these things. But try to clear away the space in your mind just to let the Scripture speak for itself to you. And this morning, that's what we want to do. Remember this. The Scripture is not a science textbook. Now, it has science in it, but it's not the primary function, especially of Genesis 1 and 2. And unfortunately, for many, it has become like a science book. And it shouldn't be, because that's not why it's here. It's here for answering the big questions of life. Do you see them there? Where do I come from and why? Science can't answer that. And what is my purpose? Science can't answer that either. But these are the reasons why God has put Genesis 1 and 2 in the Bible, so that we can know where we come from, why we're here, and what is our purpose. And if you know those things beyond a shadow of a doubt, you're set for life on God's green earth. Remember this book of Genesis. The word Genesis means beginnings. And remember that this book was written by Moses. So that was about, well, I don't know, 3,500 years ago when Moses wrote this. So we are not only separated at the time of writing by several thousand years, but Moses wasn't there when all this took place. So God informed him. He inspired him about this. And so who knows how long ago these things took place. And again, don't go all sciencey on me, because it's not meant for that. Let the Scriptures be the Scriptures. Remember, this is the book of the beginnings. The second thing is, remember that it comes from a different land. It comes from a different culture, and it comes from a different language. When I was preparing for this, I was listening to one of the visual commentators, and he said he had the audience close their eyes. He says, I'm going to read you, I'm just going to say to you the first few verses. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, what image do you have in your head when I say those words? The heavens and the earth. What image? For the heavens, do you see the universe, the galaxy? Do you see all that? Anybody here see that? Or when I say the earth, what do you see? Do you see that little round circle? Do you see it? Is that what you're looking at? Remember, no one who wrote this and no one who read this until about 1950-something knew that that's what the earth looked like in the universe. This is not a science book. And you don't have to get all sciencey to get the most out of it. And I'm going to emphasize that, because too often I feel like it gets destroyed because we try to read stuff into it. So when you hear those words, heavens and earth, we're going to look at that in just a minute. In the book of Genesis, because I'm starting the series and Pastor Ryan is going to pick it up next Sunday, but the book of Genesis basically has two divisions. The first 11 chapters are basically God dealing with the whole world. So as you're going through that, the chapters 1 to 11 are God dealing with the whole earth, all the people in it. And then chapter 12 to chapter 50 is about one man and his family. So it's about who? Who do you think it is? Abraham and his family. So you get to know his kids, right? Who is Abraham's son? Isaac. And Isaac had Jacob. And Jacob had a whole bunch of sons, but mostly we hear about who? Joseph. In fact, the largest portion of the book of Genesis is reserved for Joseph. Interesting. Don't just let that slide by you. This is important stuff. So that's how the book of Genesis is put together. So in chapter 1 and 2, we are introduced to this amazing, creative, powerful God who brings order out of chaos. Remember that. Say it with me. Order out of chaos. God introduces himself to the whole world as the God who brings order out of Chaos. Do we know what chaos is these days? Is God stumbling around going, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? No. Right from the very beginning, He has informed us that He is a God who takes and makes order out of all things chaotic. Hallelujah. We should go home now while the getting's good. Don't. Just wait. Just wait. Just wait. It gets better. All right. So we are introduced to this God in this way. So in chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to look it up. There's hopefully some Bibles around you. If you don't have one, you can share. You can share. You don't have to be 6 feet apart. Isn't that good? Amen. Hallelujah. So Genesis chapter 1 and 2 says this, and I'm reading from the NIV. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now there are some very interesting things about that first verse that you need to know to help you understand the rest. First of all, the word God. That word is a special word. It's a unique word because it means, it actually the Hebrew, it's Elohim. Okay? And that word is unique only in this sense that it is mysterious. We read it in English as God, and no big deal, it's God. But in the Hebrew, it is a singular word with a plural structure. So actually, you would not be wrong to say, in the beginning, God's created. That would not be wrong, according to the Hebrew. It's a plural word with a, or sorry, it's a singular word with a plural structure. Now, in the New Testament, we have something similar. When Jesus told us to go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations, we were to baptize them into what? The what? The name. Singular. Not the names of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's very similar to that passage. And you don't get that when you just simply read it because we just see the word God there. But it is wholly influential into the whole thing because God is mysterious. But He is not only mysterious, He is around. Now look into this. This is really good. All right, so I want you to think about what I said earlier about the heavens and the earth. And I want you just to think of it the way the person who was writing it. He just saw earth as land. Okay, it's land. And he saw the land was formless and empty, which means it was wild and a wasteland. It was like a desert. That's what it's meaning. So the idea is, basically, that in the beginning, this mysterious God created land and a wild wasteland it was. And what else? Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And what's the deep? Water. Land, which was untamed and wild and a wasteland, not really something that we could live in, and water, the deep, which again is not something that we can live in without special equipment. Agreed. And then in the midst of all of this uninviting and uninhabitable place, we read this, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. God, His Spirit. Now that word is a very interesting word. It means breath. The breath of God. So just put your hand here and go, oh. Just do that. Oh. He was there. Now, could you see what you just blew in your hand? Yeah, I can't see it. But He was there. And He was hovering. He was in the midst of it all. It was not out of control. He was in control by His breath. Now, the next thing we read is what? What do we read? And God said. He used His breath. So if you were to just say said, just put that up there. Said. Come on, say it nice and loud. Said. You should see yourselves. You look like you have masks on. I'm just kidding. Now, when you did that, could you feel the breath? Said. The breath of God is the power and presence of God Almighty. So what he does is he says a few things. This is really exciting. He said, what? Let there be light. And there was light. Hallelujah. A powerful God, a mighty God, a God whose word is life. And according to this, light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was, what's that word? Good. Now, I want to remind you of something. As we're going further into this, we realize that God had created a tree that he called the knowledge of good and not good. Good and not good. Good and not good. Good and evil. All right. So there we are. Out of his mouth, first of all, light happens, and he says, this is good. We have a definition. We have a definition of good. What is good? Light is good. Hallelujah. Light is good, isn't it? Can you imagine if he forgot that part? If he just skipped over the whole light and dark? Just went to the next phase? No, you can't. You've got to have light. Because without light, we don't have life. We don't have growth. We don't have anything. It's dark. And this is so telling. He separated the light from the darkness. Remember, with his voice, with his spirit, he separates darkness from life. I loved Patricia's testimony. You know what was going on there? He was separating darkness from light. He still does that today, all the time. Whenever someone comes to know Jesus, he separates the darkness from the light. Hallelujah! He has not changed. Only now he does all of this through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. We're going to get to that in a minute. So he separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. Thank you, Lord. We have day. And the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. What an exciting day. This is good because why? Because he called something. He didn't create something. He called something. What did he call it? He called the light day. And you know what that means? That is the basic structure of organized time. Not only did he bring order into chaos, he brought order to the order. Day and night. So he is busy creating space for time. For time. This is what he was up to. And he called that whole first day good. So God is bringing us today along in his journey. It's very interesting in this whole passage that is about the creation story. He says the word breath, or said, God said, he used his breath 10 times. Not by accident in the Hebrew. In fact, the Ten Commandments, that's what we call them. The Ten Commandments are actually the 10 words in the Hebrew. 10 is the number for completeness. 10 times God said. All right. And 7 times, which is the number of perfection, he said, it is good. It is good. In fact, when he got to make man, he said it was very good. All right. Okay. So I want to show you this next slide because it really helps kind of understand how this book is put together. Okay, so let me walk you through this. So in the first 3 declarations of days, he talks about the first thing. Remember, we talked about order and time. They called it day. The light is day. Okay? Now look what happens then on the 4th day. Just look across there. What happens on the 4th day? What happens? He fills the day with sun, moon, and stars. So what you have is this beautiful symmetry that's almost like a poem. And what he's doing is he's starting by giving day one, two, and three. He's kind of creating the domain. And then days four, five, and six, he's filling each of the domains. You see it? Again, structure, order, perfection. It was good. Huh? It's and God said, all of these things created by his breath. The seas and the skies he filled with. Come on, Sunday school class. He filled with birds and fish. And then the dry land and vegetation, he put into it animals and us. And at the end of each of those days, you can go find it says, and evening and morning that day. But on the seventh day, he doesn't do that. On the seventh day, God rested. And he doesn't mention anything about evening and morning. Why? What did he fill that day with? Rest. Rest. That's what he filled it with. So you can see there's something special about the seventh day. We're going to get to it. There's also something very special about the sixth day. Because he created animals, true, right? But then he breaks the rhythm of the poem. Now, those of you who might be magicians, and I know, Stacy, you'll understand this. It's frustrating when the rhythm is broken, and it goes in a different direction. And you're kind of like, is this the same song? Because the different direction is so unique. What he does is he stops what he's doing, and in verse 26, we read this, if you're following along. Then God said, his breath, let us make man in our image. Again, the word Elohim comes into play. Why? Why? Because he's saying to the committee, who's he talking to? Well, we know from Colossians that it was Jesus. And of course, his spirit is there because that's the breath and the creator, all of them together. Let us, in this holy council, make man, and that word is Adam. We say Adam. Let us make Adam in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule our purpose, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the livestock and over the earth and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Our purpose is clear. We are to work with this God, this Elohim. We are to work with him in creating more and more order out of the chaos in the world. Has that mandate changed? No. We find our purpose here on these pages. You are created to bring order with the authority of God out of chaos. That's what you're supposed to bring. You're supposed to make the earth a place that invites life. And more life. And more life. In fact, God said it this way. I'm going to bless you, be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the earth. Hallelujah. We got a job to do. We are to fill the earth. So our purpose is very clear. We know why we're here. We're here to work with God, to bring order and life, and to fill the earth and make it a wonderful place to live. That's why we're here. Had anybody forgotten that? Hello? That's why you're here. That's why we are all here. That's why the entire human race is here. He says it again in verse 27. And just to be clear, God created Adam in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Is there any mistake about who's God and who's not. Very clear. In fact, you see three times he uses the word created, and twice he uses the word image. Now, that word image is really kind of a fun word because it's a little bit like a shadow, all right? You're walking in the sunshine, sun's on your back. Where's your shadow? Out in front of you? Okay, does it look like you? Kinda. In fact, you can sort of tell sometimes whose shadow it is if you're with someone you know. Or even better, on your driver's license, there is a image of you. Is that you? Or is that just an image of you? It's an image. So it's not you, it's just an image of you. See the difference? We are not God. We are not God. That is the deception that comes when Pastor Ryan is going to come and preach. The deception comes to be like God. And guess what it says right here? We already are like him. What were they thinking? God created us. God put us the stamp of his image on us. Now, this is a very important part of the scripture. Catch this clearly. In fact, I heard a speaker say this when I was listening to the video, the audio commentary. Go ahead and change the slide for me. This is what it says about images. This is Tim Mackey. It says, people are not to make images of God. Agreed? Okay, that's number one command. Don't make any, or sorry, number two, don't make any images. Don't make any images, right? People are not to make images of God because God has already made images of himself. Who is that? Us. We are made in his image. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. That was freeing to hear those words. And God blessed them. He said, be fruitful and multiply. And so the whole story is wrapped up in this blessing that God gives us to go out there and in his authority and by his power represent him to the world, to the earth. We are to represent him. We have his image on us and his likeness on us. And we are to work together with him to bring life and make the earth a place that generates multiplicity. Get out there and multiply. Can someone say, yeah, that's good stuff, isn't it? Is multiplying hard? Well, sometimes. I have to be careful what I say, because sometimes multiplying is hard. Some people are not able to have children as easily as others. But for the most part, is multiplying hard? In fact, there's a lot of multiplying that goes on that people don't even want to have multiplying happening. This is a blessed state. This is a blessed function. This is God at work. What did Eve say? I'm going to borrow from the third sermon. What did Eve say when she had her first son? What did she say? She called him Cain because he was in their likeness. When we have children, we propagate the likeness of God. It's just that blessed. Now we get to the climax. Now this is where the chapter breaks happen, unfortunately. But before we do that, just notice that God says in verse 31, what are the words? And it was good. It was very good. So not only did he have a special committee to make us into his image, when he was finished, he didn't just say, oh, that's good. No, he said, this is very good. Now turn to your neighbor and say, you are very good. Come on now, say it. Now no kissing. Get stop it. Come on, back off. Church isn't for kissing. Oh, maybe it is. Go ahead. This is what it's about. Right? On day 7, he comes in, and day 7 fills in the gaps from chapter 2 fills in the gaps from chapter 1 for the most part, except for when he talks about day 7. In day seven, he starts to rest from all he is doing. This is a significant thing. The word seven or day seven means completeness. It means perfection. The days of creation, seven of them. In the Hebrew, it's absolutely astounding how this is written. You don't get this from the English. In the Hebrew, there are seven announcements that God makes. And in verse one, there is one announcement. But it has seven Hebrew words in it. Okay? By the time he gets to verse 14, he now has 14 Hebrew words in it, which is what? In mathematicians? Mathematician? What? 2 times 7 is 14. And by the time he gets to the blessing that he gives in the creation, where God created heavens and earth, and he gets to chapter 2, verse 3, I think it is, or 2, this now becomes 3 verses with 7 Hebrew words in it. You can see, even in the Hebrew, it is not meant to be anything other than beautiful. It's structured that way to take your breath away. Oh, wow. God rested from his handiwork, and he rules the earth now with his partners. That's what he does. He's resting with his partners, working the world. And it says very clearly in verses 9 through and 15 and 17 that God makes all kinds of trees and he builds a garden for them as kind of home base. Okay, so the garden is called the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden is the home base for Adam and his partner, who we haven't met yet, for Adam and his partner to launch into the rest of the world from. It's astounding, this beautiful garden, this paradise. And in it, he puts the tree of life, which is meant to be a description of who God is, and the tree of the knowledge of evil, good and evil, which is also a picture of who God is. All the way through, he's been separating good from not good, good from not good, good from not good, good from not good. And then at the end, very good from not good. Okay? He's been separating all along. And he's been telling and showing by his creative hand what's happening. And now we get to his creation of this man. And he puts him in the garden. Now, the beauty of this whole thing, it's really astounding. It is so intimate. Look at what he does. The fingerprints of God are all over us. He gets down into the dust. And he forms a man. And then he gets up into his face, nose to nose, and he breathes. I love the cartoon. Wasn't that cute? And suddenly he's awake. Isn't that beautiful? The intimacy of chapter 2. Chapter 1 is a little bit more like boxy and sort of the program. But chapter 2 is the intimacy. He draws near. He forms us. He breathes life into us. And then for the very first time, he gives them a choice. He gives Adam a choice. And what was the choice? I've been telling you all along, I'm the tree of life. I represent the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All right, that's what he's been doing. Don't eat from that tree. And then a warning, if you do, you'll die. All the life that I have brought to you, everything good I have brought to you, will cease if you eat from that tree. All the other trees are there. So God stacked the deck in his favor. Would you agree? And he said to him, don't touch this tree. What's that doing? That's giving Adam respect as an individual. He's saying, you matter, your choices matter. Make good choices. I've defined what good is. Trust me. That's what he's saying. You don't need the fruit from this tree. Trust me. I know the difference between what is good and what is not good. You don't. Trust me. I'll show you. Isn't that beautiful? And so he sees that Adam is lonely, Hallelujah. He marches by all the animals. And thankfully, praise God, there was no creature that was found. You know, he looked into the eyes of the cow and said, no, that's not going to work. Maybe he looked in the eyes of the alligator. No, that's not going to work either. Or the bird. No. No suitable helper was found. So God said, this is, what? Famous words, not good. So now we have a description of what is not good. What is not good? For man to be alone. It is not good for man to be alone. Very simple, very straightforward. Don't add anything else to it. Just know that you are not created to be alone. And so God put him to sleep, took a rib from his side, fashioned the woman, woke him up, and brought her to him. And he said, whoa, man. It's very loosely translated. Bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, you will be called woman, for you've come out of me. What an honor. What an honor. How do you think he saw Eve after looking in the eyes of alligators and cows all day? How do you think he saw Eve? Woohoo! Excuse me. Had to wake you up there. It's getting late. You know, it goes on to say this. A man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife. The two will become one flesh. There's a symmetry to this, again, that only God can bring. Remember in the first chapter, he said he created them male and female. He created them. He created them both, males and females, in his image. Right? Now, it says here, this is the final verse, verse 25, the man and his wife were naked, and there was no shame. Imagine. No shame. Like a baby that you rip the diaper off because it's stinky, they're totally open. Are they embarrassed? Are they ashamed of their nakedness before you? Hello? Do they say, hey, put that back on? They can't say anything. In fact, they're probably kind of glad you took the diaper off. Right? They're naked, but there's no shame. This is how God has created us to be, in his image, in his likeness, with no shame. Hallelujah! Innocent, trusting one another, not having to worry about what the other's thinking all the time. We think as one. We become as one. We unite as one around the purposes of God. We represent him to the earth, and we fill it with babies who make more babies, who make more babies, and we subdue the earth, and we bring life, and we bring wholeness, because God is with us in this mandate. Hallelujah. So, next slide. These two chapters are meant to create a worldview for us to live our life from. It tells us that we are lovingly and intimately created, and that we carry within us the image of the invisible God, so that we might work with him, with his authority, to continue to work the work of caring for and subduing the whole earth. Amen. You know why you're here. This is done out of the rest, the harmony in union with the Creator. Day seven, remember, it doesn't have an evening and a morning. It doesn't stop. It keeps going. And going. Is it going to this day? It's going to this day. We find our rest in God. It is God-centered, working fully in the blessing to care for and bring order out of chaos in this world, bringing light to them in the midst of darkness, providing us humans, he provided us humans with the answer to where we come from and why and what is our purpose. Hallelujah. Well, that was Sunday school. You are the image of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are the image of God. Come on, say it to each other. You are the image of God. Now get out there and be fruitful and multiply. Amen.
Sticker. Yeah, I said, do we all get stickers? My little sticker in the box by my name, Sunday School. Yeah.